Amen, amen. Hey, well, welcome to NBC. I'm so glad that you're here with us today. If you are new, my name is Matt, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here. And it's such just a privilege to be here, and we've been going through this series called Hot Takes. And we've been talking about the Beatitudes and about the teachings of Jesus and how it was a fresh perspective that a lot of people hadn't heard. In fact, people, when they talked about Jesus, they said, we've never heard God's word taught in this way. It's so different. It's so radically different than the way we've heard it before. And a couple weeks ago, I talked about we all want to win. And I know for some people, you were just locked in. You're like, yeah, I want to win. And probably for other people, you're like, well, I mean, I don't necessarily have to win, right? I'm not like a super competitive person. I don't have to win. But today, I would suggest that we all want to get better, right? We want to get better. And for some of us, that's kind of how we have to frame it when we look at this idea of winning. We don't necessarily have to win because maybe we want the team to win. Or maybe we want everybody to have a great experience and to be encouraged. But we do understand the idea of wanting to get better. We want to get better. All of us want to get better. I mean, for some of us, we want to get healthier. We want to get better with our income. We want to be in better shape. We want to have a better relationship with our spouse or with our kids. And maybe that's why you're here. You want to get better. Maybe you want to grow in your relationship with God, or you have some questions and you're exploring faith and you're like, man, I at least want to explore it and so that maybe, just maybe, I can get better. Or maybe you have some issues that you're struggling with, and you're like, man, I've tried so many different places. I've tried so many different ways. I just want to get better, so I'm going to give Jesus a chance. Maybe that's why you've invited some friends to attend service with you, because it's made your life better. You've seen the difference that God's made in your life, and you're like, man, I want this for everybody. It's such good news. It made your life better, and you want them to know that as well. And isn't that something that's worth sharing? It's worth sharing when your life has been made better, then you've been freed from things. Here's the thing. Getting better isn't always about some dramatic change. If we can replace negatively compounding habit or a mental discipline with one that's neutral or positive, like, that's getting better, right? We instantly get better because instead of going to the negative place, like, we're maybe just taking the first step just to say, I'm just not going to do anything. And if we add a positive to that, things start compounding quickly. Think about it. Here's how the math works out. If you can get 1% better each day for a year, think about how much better you're going to be at the end of the year. Conversely, if you start making poor decisions and 1% by 1% by 1%, man, at the end of the year, you're going to find yourself in a hole. It's only when we look back 2, 5, perhaps 10 years that we see if we take those steps to just get a little bit better each day, how dramatically it can change us. We talked about this idea with Financial Peace University that we took recently. Man, I would encourage you, if you've never done Financial Peace University, it is such a blessing. They say that the two top things that couples fight about are money and sex, right? And listen, here's the thing. When it comes to our finances, God has a plan. And it's so good to understand and know that plan. But we talked about the snowball. And how when you just slowly add little choices that make it better by better by better, you start finding compounding interest. And suddenly you find yourself in a much better place than you ever imagined. Faith can be the same way. Faith can be the same way. For some of you, this is good news because, like, you just want to grow a little bit. And you want to ask questions a little bit, and you want to know a little bit more. So hopefully at some point you can understand enough that you're like, yeah, I'm ready to make that decision to follow Jesus. I'm ready to take steps in the directions of God. Well, today we're going to continue in a discussion of things that Jesus says not only is going to make us better, but if we follow him, it's the way we should live our life. And it's the way that we should live our life, not because God wants to punish us, but actually because God wants to bless us. He says, I want you to have life, and I want you to have life to the full. So we're looking at the Beatitudes, and this was a list of things that Jesus spoke, and they were written down by Matthew. We've been in the book of Matthew for this series, and as we'll continue until the end of this series. Matthew was an eyewitness of Jesus, and that means he was there. He walked around with Jesus. He experienced it. He did ministry with Jesus, and he saw all of the miracles of Jesus. Matthew wrote this down. They estimate somewhere between 40 and 70 AD. In other words, very shortly after Jesus was crucified and rose again. This is important because when we have questions about faith, it's important to know the timeline of things and that Scripture is reliable. But we've been looking at the Beatitudes, and here's where we've been so far. It says, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Jesus was walking around, huge crowds were following him, and so he comes up on a mountainside and he sits down. That's the international language for I'm about to talk. He sits down, it says, his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That was week one. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Last week we looked at, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we talked last week about, what are you feeding yourself? What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? Are you hungering and thirsting for the things of God? We're promised we will be filled. And what you feed yourself will grow, right? You can catch up with those talks online, but here's where we're going today. I don't know if you've seen these before, but this terrified me in middle school, right here. Terrified me. I mean, I grew up in Texas. I grew up going to lakes, and so I wasn't scared of sharks. But when I saw the movie Piranha, I was done. I remember going to go water skiing for the first time, and I was just like, I'm just not sure if I'm going to get in. I mean, these things are scary, right? Look at those teeth. And here's the thing. When someone comes into their space, they just attack, and it's like a feeding frenzy, right? Can I be honest? Sometimes I feel like that's what our culture has turned into. Like a school of piranha. And I mean, it's like mob mentality sometimes. There's other fish, there's other piranha involved, and they don't even know what they're attacking. They just know that this one and this wasn't attacking, so they just go for it. People can't wait to cancel everybody. What did that person say? Cancel. What did they do last year? Cancel. What did they post 5 years ago? What did they think 10 years ago? I mean, some of us are such completely different people than we were when we were how old? 29, did Scotty say? Good luck. But we look at some of the things, and I don't want to be, man, I tell you, I'm so grateful that these things weren't around 30 years ago. Can I get an amen? Yeah. It's like I would be in so much trouble if some of the stuff came up. There's enough evidence out there as it is. But just get canceled. Now, let me say this. Yes, there are things that people should be held accountable for. I'm not saying that. There are things that we should address as concerning our laws and right and wrong. Like if a restaurant serves drinks with paper straws, canceled! I'm done! Right? I know! It's a hot take, and some of you are clapping, and others of you are like, Matt, save the turtles. And some of you are like, man, I just agree with you because I'm sick of drinking a drink and getting paper in my mouth while I'm drinking it. But listen, let's go beyond that, right? You have a fight with your friend, some people in our day and age, we just write them off. It's like, I disagree with that person. I can't, they're just done. You get in a fight with your parents, done. Disagree online, you blow up. You just berate them in front of everybody on your social media presence, which is usually about like 30 or 40 people. But you're like, done. You don't like something that happened at church? You're like, I'm out of here. I'm not going to go talk to that person. I'm just going to leave. Or maybe, strap in, maybe they vote differently than you. Maybe they believe differently than you. Now listen, I'm not saying you have to agree with them, but I don't believe that every person is not, okay, a double negative here, is not made in the image of God. I believe that every person is made in the image of God. And that if Christ died for them, that we should at least be considerate of, we might have some beliefs that are different from theirs. It scares me how quick we are to end relationships because we think differently. Not just that, but the harshness at times with which it is done. Think about this. Justice without mercy can make the right person wrong. Right? Justice without mercy can make the right person wrong. Listen, you can believe the right thing or think, hey, listen, you broke the law, and so there's a consequence of your actions, but you can go too far. You can overdo it, and suddenly the right person is actually in the wrong. Some of us can think of examples when we've experienced that or seen that throughout history. Think about it. Something happens and you just react. And like, your sense, your heart is in a good place, but you just overreact so much that you end up doing something you regret, like maybe throwing an entire cake on somebody's car if you were there for that message. It's kind of like those piranhas. You might have jumped into their space or territory, and you didn't mean to disrupt them. You didn't mean to cause problems, but suddenly they are just attacking. It is a mob mentality. They're swarming and hurting you. And I want to, because I think it is so important, to look at what Jesus has to say as we live our lives. And that's what we're looking at when it comes to the Beatitudes. He says in our Beatitude of the Day in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful. Why? For they will be shown mercy. Amen. Do you know that merciful people are happy people? Do you know that people who lack mercy, so many times when you see people that are just super rigid and they have no mercy, there's no forgiveness in their lives, don't you find that so many times those people are the most miserable people? They can't let it go. They can't get past it. They have to have justice. Mercy means, listen, I might not totally understand, but I'm going to sit with you. Mercy means I'm going to enter into the mess and seek to be there for you. I'm going into your pain. I'm going into your suffering. I'm going out of my way to help you. You might not deserve it. We might not agree, but mercy says, I'm going to be with you. So let me ask you, are you merciful? Are you merciful? Now, listen, if you ask me, hey, Matt, look in the mirror, are you merciful? I'd say, honestly, in some ways, yeah, I'm merciful. In other ways, I struggle. Right? There's areas in which I struggle. So I want to break this down. We start off with, blessed are the merciful. And listen, the reason I say that there's areas with which I struggle is because mercy is hard, isn't it? Mercy is hard because things are messed up. We live in a fallen world. Gas prices are hard. Cancel culture. Business trouble. Scholarships didn't come through. How that person wronged you, or when someone cheats you out of a job, or when someone just is so inconsiderate. Did I mention gas prices? It's hard to show mercy. And here's why I bring that up. Because sometimes you have side things that become big things because of the other things going on in your life. And suddenly you find it hard to be a merciful person. Here's what we have to remember. When Jesus rose from the tomb, all sin didn't go away. All suffering didn't go away. But Jesus promised one day it will. One day it will. But until then, I am with you. In fact, he says this in John 16, 33. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, there's some scriptures that I talk about from time to time, and this is a scripture that falls in a camp of a certain group of scriptures that I say, I love that scripture, but man, is it hard. I love that scripture, but man, is it hard, because I don't really want to experience trouble. I don't want to really go through hard times. In fact, if I could rewrite it my way, I would say this: you will never have trouble, Matt. Everything will be easy for you. That's Matt's revised version. And you can just fill in your name, because the truth is, if you kind of had to write it out, a lot of us would say the same thing. You're never going to have problems. Become a Christian, everything is going to be great. You're never going to go through hard times. The real verse, John 16, 33, should give us hope in the midst of the struggle. Hey, listen, in this life, you're going to experience hardship. You're going to experience trial. There's going to be things that you have to go through that are going to be difficult, but take heart. I am with you. I'm there. I will be with you when someone cuts in front of you. I will be there when that person mistreats you and you should have gotten that job and you've done everything right, but you got overlooked again. See, sin has entered the world. And the truth is, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This alone separates us from God, a holy God who is without sin. And even though we deserve death, Jesus gave us life. That's mercy. Jesus gave us an eternal community and new heavens and new earth. That's mercy. See, because I believe this with all of my heart, because I know my heart and I've seen this world's heart. We deserve the consequences of our actions, but Jesus gave us the consequences of his actions, and that's mercy. I deserve the consequences of my actions. I deserve if I speed to get a ticket. I deserve if I do something wrong, if I lie, I cheat, I steal, there's a consequence that I should inherit, rightly so by the law. But listen, we want Matt's revised version when we do something wrong, don't we? Everything's going to be easy, Matt. There's no consequences, Matt. Everything, we'll just brush it off and act like it never happened. But we're promised in this life we will have trouble. We deserve the consequence of our actions. But Jesus gave the consequence of his actions, which was living a sinless life and going to the cross for us. And not only that, but rising again and interceding for us. Interceding simply means that when we should be paying the penalty for our sin, Jesus is like, I covered that one. My sacrifice covered that one. I got them. I love them. I care for them. You're going to get the consequence of my actions. Jesus says, in my kingdom, we value mercy. And when we are merciful, you're acting in Jesus' likeness. When you're emulating me, guess what? Your life is going to be blessed. Right? We see that. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, I don't know about you, but I need mercy in my life. And if nothing else, putting this into practice, we start seeing, like, listen, in my life, when I am merciful, I see the byproduct of it. I've seen it before. When someone's done something or wronged me, and I just have that moment where I'm like, man, I can tag them on this. I can grill them. Man, I'm going to make them feel this. And instead, I take a deep breath. And I show them mercy. Every single time, a fruit of that is that my life gets mercy. Because something happens from them, something happens in my life, and someone's like, oh man, I saw how you were compassionate to that person. I'm going to be compassionate to you. It's a natural byproduct. When we think about it, some of the most memorable times in our lives are when we've messed up, fallen short, or stepped out of line, and someone showed us mercy, right? Think about this. It's what makes what Jesus said so brilliant. The happiness you experience is directly tied to the mercy that you show. I have a friend that recently, man, I love this guy. He and his brother are some of the most amazing guys I've ever known in my life. And I was talking about the desire to have more joy in my life. And he texted me recently and he was like, hey, Matt, I know you've been going through a lot. You've had a lot of transition. There's things going on in your life. Can we do a joy challenge together? Because I want to experience joy as well. And so we just started writing down 5 or 6 or 7 things that we're thankful for. Guess what? My life is happier because I'm focusing on those things. What you feed yourself will grow. Not only that, but it's helped me be a more merciful person. When I start thinking of the things of God, I start showing more mercy. This is a byproduct of living the Christ-centered life. It's so countercultural, it's so true, and it's so brilliant. When I was a kid, I had just started driving, and I didn't stop all the way at a stop sign. I was going to pick up my cousin, who was still in middle school. I kind of did a rolling stop. For you guys that have been here for a while, that doesn't surprise you. You're like, yeah, that sounds like Matt. But this cop lit me up, and he pulls me over, and I do, like, I'm the 16-year-old kid, and I'm super scared, and I roll down my window. For you guys that are, like, younger than 40, you might know what this is. This is a window crank. And I roll down my window, and I say, what seems to be the problem, officer? And he's... Oh, no. And he says to me, he's like, you didn't stop all the way at that stop sign. And I, being a great, honorable person, said, I thought I did. I knew I hadn't. I had just become a Christian. I had just started following Jesus. And so I did what, you know, new followers of Jesus sometimes do. I had Jesus stickers all over my car. I had one of those Ichthus fish on the glass on the back of my truck, because I'm from Texas and you drive a truck. And I will never forget that cop looking in my window, stepping back. I knew what he was doing, looking at my glass and then looking at me. And he said, son, do you believe in absolute truth? Oh, man. Just give me the ticket. Just give me the ticket. Right? Like, that's convicting. And of course, you know, I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, now, did you stop at that stop sign back there? I said, no, sir, I did not. We also say sir and ma'am in Texas. Okay. I said, no, sir, I did not. He said, you have a great day and always remember to tell the truth. Here's the truth. He was showing me mercy. I deserved a ticket. I deserved a consequence of my actions. Not only did he show me mercy, he showed me mercy in saying, hey, Matt, your life is going to be better if you always tell the truth. Yeah, you're going to go through hard times, but I've overcome the world. Follow me. Live my way. It has helped me in times when I don't want to show mercy to someone that's hurt me. Man, I'll tell you, being a pastor is fun sometimes, because it's one of those difficult things where I'm sitting and there's an audience out here, And sometimes we get to interact a lot, and I love interacting with people. Sometimes I don't get to interact, but inevitably this will happen. Somebody will go somewhere else, and then I'll start hearing things about me. I never got to interact with them. They never got to share what was going on in their lives. And I'm going to be honest, there's times where it's really hard to show mercy when you hear things that are not true, when you hear things that are hard. But listen, I know I needed to receive mercy, so I need to give it. And I believe that I'm going to live in such a way that even though people might speak illly of me or might speak illy of someone else, that no one will believe it because they know who we are. Some 1% changes to being merciful. Listen, we got to start living this out in our lives, that we start loving God by loving people, that we start being a church that loves God by loving people, that we start being a community of believers, that we show our love for God by loving other people and showing mercy. Jesus shows us by the way he lived his life. I get this. You get this. We love our kids. We love our spouse. We love the people that we're in relationship with. And there's a byproduct that naturally takes place. See, here's what I believe. We can't say we love God and not love people. It's your hot take for the day. We can't say that we love God and not love others. And I'm not talking about the people we're supposed to love. I'm talking about the people that it's hard to love. Jesus hung out with people he wasn't supposed to. He did life with people that were difficult. A lot of times, he spent time with people who were the worst of society. And he didn't expect anything from them. He wanted to give something to them. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This is a guy who is an expert. And so Jesus turns to him and he says, "What's written in the law? How do you read it?" I love how Jesus does this. He's like, "You know, what does it say?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." This guy answers his own question. All of the knowledge that he's put in, all of the time of studying and reading and going over and over, it just regurgitates out of him. Jesus says, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." And he knows the right answer, but isn't it true that we can know the right answer, but it's hard to live it out? So he wanted to justify himself. He says, "Who's my neighbor?" Right? And who is my neighbor? Like, if I'm going to be real, there's times that I want to ask, "And who's my neighbor? Do I really have to be nice to that person? Do I really have to be kind to them?" So, in reply, it says, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and left him half dead." Some of you know this story. This is a story of the Good Samaritan. It says a priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. He had priestly duties that he was responsible for, and he was like, "I don't want to get messed up and mixed up in that. I don't know what's going on. I don't know the whole story." It says, "So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side." The Levites were the worship leaders. Good job, Riley. It's like, I got worship practice to get to. I can't do this. There's things going on. I'm busy. But right, it says, "But a Samaritan, as he traveled and came where the man was and he saw him, he took pity on him." Listen, when the expert in the law who was talking to Jesus heard this, he immediately would have bristled when he heard, "But a Samaritan." Because They were opposed to each other. They didn't like one another. They worshiped differently, had their own temple. There was so much animosity and ugliness. I'm going to kind of fast forward a little bit. The Samaritan picks him up, takes care of him, takes him to an inn, says, hey, listen, not only am I going to give you some money, but anything else that he is owed after I come back, I'm going to pay for. Jesus comes back to the religious man and says, listen, okay, which one of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus says, go and do likewise. That is our call today, to be a people who show mercy, to be a people who are kind to those who sometimes aren't kind to us. God, help me to love those that are hard to love. God, help me to get rid of my prejudice. God, help me to be your hands and feet. Even when I'm frustrated with their actions, even when I don't like the way they've acted, even when I have things in my heart that are sinful. So here's my question. If Jesus tasted death for everyone, how dare we not love everyone? Jesus tasted death for all of us. And our mission is to go in the world to tell of this Savior, to tell of this Jesus. And again, I'm not saying that we agree with everything every person has done, but we are to be a people who are merciful. We are to be people who get in the mess and show them that we care. And sometimes we're going to be people that look back, say, do you believe in absolute truth? I want to help you. Sometimes mercy is saying some hard things. Sometimes care is saying, listen, wounds from a friend can be trusted, Proverbs says, but an enemy multiplies kisses. An enemy just kisses up. An enemy just says all the right things because they want their way. Truth from a friend can be trusted. And sometimes that's the most merciful thing you can do. Maybe you've heard the saying, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It's so true, isn't it? That people need to see our love in action. Some of you are like, Matt, that's not scripture. I'm not sure how that all plays out. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:1. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I tried this out like 20-some-odd years ago. I had a cymbal, and every time I started talking, I just hit it. The sermon didn't last very long because you couldn't hear anything. Because if I'm living my life and I don't show mercy and I don't have love, if we don't show mercy and don't have love, if we're not saying, hey, there's something better out there to a culture that is convinced of something different, and we can't show mercy, we're just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, and you can't hear a word because there's no love. So what if we live different? What if we began to start being a people who showed mercy? What if we began to be people that said, hey, it's fine, don't worry about it. When we're wronged, if it's a minor wrong or if it's a big wrong, what if we began people who said, just 1% by 1% by 1%, I want to start getting better. I'm tired of the cancel culture, the piranha, just everything attack. I'm going to start being a person that follows the way of Jesus. I'm not just going to say it in my head. I'm going to live it out of my heart. I want to overflow God's grace because he has been so good to me. Here's what I will tell you. New Vintage Church, if we began doing that more and more, 1% by 1% by 1%, Escondido is going to take notice. Escondido is going to start saying to you, hey, something is different about you. What is it? And we get the blessing pointing to Jesus. We get the gift of saying that our Savior, who has given us so much, He is who's changed my heart, my desires, that you can know it too. It's available for everyone. So let's be people who start not only believing what is said, but that we start putting it into practice. Because make no mistake, we are not the Samaritan that picked the person up on the side of the road. We are the bloodied person on the side of the road that was picked up by Jesus. It says, you have sinned, you've messed up, you're paying with it with the consequences of the life that you've lived. I'm going to take care of it. I got the bill. Anything additional, I got it. So what kind of people ought we to be? People that overflow out of the goodness of the gift of being left for dead and being rescued. That's the good news. That's what we're invited to. And that's what we have the blessing of being able to invite others to. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your goodness. That in your great love for us, you didn't treat us as our sin deserves, but you had mercy on us. God, help us to be a merciful people. Yeah, sometimes it means saying hard things that are true, but so many times it means showing compassion to people in the same way that we've been shown compassion. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.